Welcome to Ballistic Radio, the fastest growing gun talk show in the country. Join us. We're going to explore the topics of firearms, self-defense, and your rights as a law-abiding citizen. Ballistic Radio, presented by Blackfire Ordnance Group, makers of TNT and TNT Black. Firearms finishes so tough, you need dynamite to take them off. Now, here's your host, John Johnston, on 55 KRC, the talk station.
Good evening and welcome to Ballistic Radio, presented by Blackfire Ordnance Group. I'm your host, John Johnston. Remember, you can always listen to past shows at ballisticradio.com. Get the latest behind-the-scenes info at facebook.com/ballisticradio. Coasting with me this evening, Mr. Andy Ulrich. Andy, how's it going?
Pretty good, John.
So, also joining us, Matt, the Ballistic Radio Minion. How are you doing, Matt?
Doing good, John.
Hey, perfect. So, we've got an exciting show tonight. We're going to be joined by Stephen Fisher, Stephen with a V, not a PH, sorry, where we're going to be talking about some of the interesting things, I think, that people, I almost said think like three times in that sentence, some of the interesting things, I think, about what people think about. some of the assumptions that people make about the tactical style classes that they attend, and whether or not, for a civilian at least, there's any value there, or if there's not, or what the value is. Should actually be, I think, a pretty cool conversation. Most of the conversations we have are cool, but this one should be especially neat. Just a quick reminder, this segment brought to you by Colt. Colt, the legend continues. So some quick updates. The Knights Armament Mod 2 rifle, though it is done, did not show up to me, so I will be running a Bravo Company KMR upper on a MagTech lower that I built, and then also a Noveski Naval Special Warfare Edition number 82. So at the upcoming Pat Rogers Shoot House class, which I am leaving for as soon as the show is done, also be shooting the FNS 9 longslide test gun, because Mark at FNH did an extremely excellent and cool thing in getting me a duty holster for that gun, even though there were none available. So that was pretty cool, him. Just a quick mention on a really kind of just depressing note, but I want to bring it up. It was told earlier in the week that a friend of mine, someone that I worked with for a while at Kyle's Gun Shop when I was still there, unfortunately committed suicide earlier in the month. And, you know, I really don't even know what to say about that. I guess really the only thing that I would like for people to think about is that if you are having a problem, there are people that you probably don't even understand what kind of impact you've made on their life or how important they are to you, that would love to talk to you if you're having a hard time. And the flip side of that too is if you know someone that's having problems or, you know, is going through a rough patch, try and be there for them if you can be. So anyway, just something to think about. Dave, I miss you. Sorry I didn't get to help you when you were still around. But anyway, you know, just I wanted to mention that. So without further ado, it's such a downer note to introduce Stephen on. I almost feel bad. I should make a Ron Burgundy joke or something like that, just because A, Dave would have appreciated that, and B, I'm wearing my Anchorman T-shirt from Pop-Up Tee.
I'll get a picture of that.
You should. So anyway, without further ado, let's get Stephen on the line. We got about 4 minutes before the commercial break, and then we'll talk about all sorts of interesting and cool things for the rest of the show. So joining us tonight, Mr. Stephen Fisher. Stephen, how are you doing?
Good. What's going on, guys?
Oh, not too much. I think I'm sorry I didn't give you a more uplifting and happy note to come in on. I usually do pretty good at keeping the show semi-lighthearted. So let's just pretend like I made something really amusing and funny. That was where we started at. So, but
I'll try to pretend that. Hold on. Let me think.
Okay. Got it. All right.
All right. I'm good.
Happy thoughts. So for those that are not familiar, and in your background and kind of what you do these days and what you've done in the past, how about you introduce yourself real quick?
You know, probably most notable for about the last 3.5 years, I was one of the primary instructors at Magpul Dynamics. Prior to that, I had my own training company based out of Michigan. MDFI, which is still being carried on by some of the cadre from there originally that I sold it to. Prior to that, some law enforcement experience for about 15 years. And then currently I'm a reserve with another agency.
Okay. And you do some industry consulting as well. And also you've got a new training company too, don't you?
Correct. Yeah, I do. I do some industry training consulting for a few companies. Right now I'm test bedding some guns for Psionics, Midwest Industries. I'm on the advisory staff of Trigicon Optics. And, yeah, currently my new company that I started this year in January is Sentinel Concepts.
Okay. Perfect. So, and I'm actually looking forward to, you've got a low-light vehicle class I'm going to try and make it up to at the end of June. But I guess what I want to talk about is, and for those people that have been following the show recently or been following the show's Facebook page, they'll have noted that I've been running around in a lot of multicam body armor and such, preparing myself for a Pat Rogers shoot house class that I'm going to be attending this week. You're actually going to be assistant instructing at that, correct?
That is correct.
All right. So, and you've already threatened me with all sorts of interestingness as far as how pleasant this is going to be. But I guess what I want to talk about is I've had a lot of people ask me why I'm taking the class. And I'm lucky because I've got the very easy, and really it's kind of a cop-out at this point, but it is the truth. It's my job to go and do stuff like that so that I can talk about it afterwards. That provides content for the show, and also, too, for some of the military and law enforcement individuals that I talk to, gives me a broader understanding of what they do. Now, we've got about a minute left before the break, and I kind of just want to get your thoughts. I know there are a lot of civilians that go to these classes, and some of them treat it as sort of an entertainment thing, and then some of them treat it as vital training, and I was just curious to get your opinion on that. Briefly,
you know,
and then we'll go into more depth next segment.
You bring up good points as far as the who's and the whys and what's, as far as what people really need to be looking for and training and preparing for. And I think we'll hit on that really heavily right after the break. I mean, honestly, it's a lot of information to go into and really to start diving into in such a short period of time, because there's a lot of information that's going to get passed along on this.
Right. I was really just kind of hoping for that that inflammatory soundbite so that all the listeners would get angry and then.
Oh, here it comes. Then I'll give it to you right now.
Okay.
This is not tactical fantasy band camp. Get over it.
That's it. Well, and I thought I had come up with that, but you informed me that no, it was not an original thought. So we'll talk about that a little bit more and just sort of get into what people's expectations are versus what the reality is. Right now we're talking with Stephen Fisher, and you are listening to Ballistic Radio. Welcome back to Ballistic Radio, presented by Blackfire Ordnance Group, makers of TNT and TNT Black. Firearms finishes so tough you'd need dynamite to take them off. Visit them online at blackfireordgroup.com. And Eric brought in some Megadeth there. I believe that was High Speed Dirt off of the Symphony of Destruction album. Eric, that was pretty sure, right? Oh, close. Darn.
Fail.
Skin of my teeth. Anyway, just a reminder, this segment brought to you by Walther. Walther and the new PPX. So anyway, back to Stephen Fisher and his tactical fantasy band camp assertion. Stephen, are you still there?
I am here.
Perfect. So let's get a little more in detail there. I guess the first thing we should do is sort of define the classes that we're talking about. And the idea that I have, at least when I'm thinking of stuff like this, is pretty much carbine classes where you're wearing body armor and learning to kick down doors or things of that nature. I mean, is that a fair assertion or description, or how would you define this?
You know, this class, realistically, and others that I've had and been to, I mean, when you really think about it, what you're really doing is taking what you've learned on a square range and applying fundamentals and basics to your environment.
Right.
And that's really what this is. It's environmentally based. It's artificial to a degree.
Right.
But you're learning to move and work with others in a 360-degree environment with, you know, really a lot of unknowns.
Right.
I mean, you can have a floor plan, you can have a model, you can have whatever it is, but the unknowns, the variables are really what makes the class and the information that's given between the instructors and other students and their experiences there as well. And unfortunately, at times, a lot of people come to these classes, not just this one or others, but it's almost like a check-the-box class for them.
Right.
You know, they like to dress up, put on another gear, you know, and come and do this, which is great, and there's nothing wrong with that. But I think a lot of it is that they really need an understanding of why they're doing this.
Yeah.
What is the reason behind it? Is it their job? Is it, you know, all those things in life that you need to put together and then to bring yourself indoors to this environment? Why?
Right. I think, too, for me, one of the one of the reasons I'm doing it is just actually it's so far outside of my comfort zone as far as what I train on a semi-regular basis that it will be interesting to see how badly, and I know it's going to happen, how badly my generally okay decision-making process breaks down, you know, with the extra stress and such.
You know, and the thing with that is most people put enough stress on themselves coming to this thing that you don't even have to do it. Some very wise people, I mean, let's be honest about it, you know, we put enough stress on ourselves in these classes, regardless if it's a shoot house, if it's a quote-unquote advanced carbine, a five-day, you know, Hondo roll, cheetah flip, whatever dynamic disruptive something class is. I mean, guys will stress themselves out right off the gate.
Right.
And the only person that you're really doing anything against is yourself. It's not the person to the left of you, to the right of you. You know, it's all about you, your performance, and what you take away from the class that you've learned and that you can apply once you leave the class.
Right. Do you think that, and that brings an interesting point to mind, and we'll just, when talking about firearms instruction in general, do you think that the motivation that most people have until they really get deep into this stuff and start thinking about it is maybe a little flawed as far as the motivation is, like you said, to get a new certificate or to impress their buddies or to improve a time on a diagnostic drill when maybe they're not as zen, for lack of a better term, as zen about it as they should be?
Yeah, I think you kind of hit on the head. There's a lot of people out there that will just take a class and use that as their practice for the year or a check the box of X instructor or Y instructor. You know, they want to go train with a cool guy or this person who's done this or this person who's done that. And there's nothing wrong with that in the least bit. But they're flawed sometimes in their thinking with why they're going. You know, a lot of times it's just for the experience to train with that person or be around that person and get that certificate.
Right.
Versus going in there with a game plan of what they want to learn, what they need to learn, and what they need to work on, mm-hmm. and what skills will be developed and honed by taking those experiences from that great instructor and how those are going to be applied and how you're going to take those back with you.
Right.
And actually, you know, use them and develop them further on the range.
And that's kind of interesting that you say that, because you could make the argument that at least a semi-large portion of your career in the past, at least, has been, for lack of a better term, teaching the rock star tactical band camp classes.
You know, I was a part of something that was absolutely fantastic. I came in at a very high point in the medical dynamics, you know, era.
Right.
And I worked with some really great people there, and it was very much, I guess what you'd call rock star status at that point. You know, the two predecessors that were there, Chris and Travis, had, you know, a very good persona about them. They were built up very well, and they were products of, you know, their own really success, truthfully, through the company, and that was phenomenal. And, you know, there was very good nuggets to be taken away.
Yeah,
a lot of people shunned it. A lot of people, you know, kind of, and just, you know, it's not relevant. But yet, there was those pieces in there that were absolutely relevant. And like any curriculum, not everything is completely relevant to everyday life, to everyday people.
Mm-hmm.
But there are pieces and parts of that you will need to take and put together to give you that whole picture. And yeah, you know, I was part of that quote unquote, you know, that culture that was Magpul Dynamics.
Right. I guess really the only reason I brought it up is that I think at least, you know, on the internet, the interwebs, my favorite place to hang out, there seems to be this tendency to, I don't know, sort of talk down about certain groups of people, or almost the trainees that go to those type classes, on one side, it's kind of like the difference between the Timmy and the gamer argument that takes place all the time. You know what I mean? It's funny, though, to hear you talking about it the way that you are, only because I think a lot of people would be surprised that as part of the tactical training wheelhouse, you're coming out and saying, you know, what you're saying. It doesn't strike me as really that odd or that far off, but I think it'll challenge some people's, you know, preconceived notions as far as the basis for these classes.
You know, and realistically, let's look at it. It's sights and triggers.
Yeah.
This is all this comes down to, is sights and triggers. It's absolute pure science, and there it is. It's sights and triggers, and it's fundamentals. You cannot progress to do anything differently, no matter what kind of cool guy status you want to get or go to in whatever class it is, if you don't have a foundation, if you do not have fundamentals down, and if you cannot, on demand, draw a handgun from a holster and hit X number of rounds at 25, 15, 10 X yards.
Yeah.
And using those fundamentals, to be honest, and I'm going to break some hearts here, you don't belong in that class.
Right.
I'm just telling people flat out, if you cannot apply fundamentals and you do not have a good regards for them and have good safety and weapons manipulations, then honestly, you need to spend more time in the square range doing fundamental classes.
You're saying that I need to stay at home? Is that what you're trying to tell me, Stephen?
I'm telling you, just show up, leave me your gear, and go home.
Okay. I can do that, I guess.
John's leaving us his gear.
You have great guns. I'm just telling you, you've got cool guy gear. I don't have cool guy stuff.
Well, let's talk about that for a minute, actually. I've been accused of... We got about 2.5 minutes left. We're talking with Stephen Fisher. The cool guy stuff that I get and all that. I recently got into an online kerfluffle where I completely lost my mind and acted like a 5-year-old.
That was your first mistake.
Yes, I know. I realized.
Arguing with a 12-year-old on the internet. That was your first mistake.
Yeah, well, anyway. But I think that there's this assumption, because you're right, I do have a lot of really interesting gear or cool gear or whatever.
We all do.
It certainly helps me that it's a tax write-off. Otherwise, I wouldn't be able to do it. I've also got some, you know, really amazing industry friends that allow me to get a hold of some things that are maybe difficult to track down and all that. You know, I pay for most of the stuff that I have. I can't really think of too many free things I get, and I think that's a big misconception about the industry in general. And it's not that there aren't free guns that go out to certain people and all that, but I don't think it happens nearly as much as everyone thinks.
No, it doesn't.
At least not, you know, and not to throw myself in here, and I'm really talking more about you and some other guys. The classy dudes don't leech off of the industry that way. They like paying for things because nobody likes that dude. It's like, hey, give me free stuff, you know?
Yeah, there is that. And you know, honestly, there is something to be said for that. I mean, you know, no exception. I have, you know, some really great friends in this industry. Yep, I've gotten some free gear. And it's, you know, it's absolutely awesome. I get it and have it. But a vast majority of my equipment is all bought and paid for because I will not be owned by anybody.
Yes.
And I won't cheapen a brand by brand jumping either every 6 to 8 months.
Right.
You know, I'm very upfront and honest with guys about what I get, what I run, and what I use, and what the feedback is, and I'll offer to buy the guns, and I will send them back, and that's that. I mean, it just, you know, there's so much back scratching that goes on in this industry like everything else. Everybody's got the newest, latest, greatest, and they want it in the hands of everybody who can get the most exposure and so forth and so on. But what does that do in the long term to you and to their brand?
Yeah, exactly. And it's, you know, it's hard for somebody to take my word about whether or not something is cool as far as that it works or doesn't work if I'm getting it for free. Now, we've got to go to break. We'll talk about that briefly when you get back, and then we'll actually get into more valuable information. We're talking with Stephen Fisher, and you are listening to Ballistic Radio. Welcome back to Ballistic Radio, presented by Black Fire Ordnance Group. Makers of firearms finishes so tough you'd need dynamite to take them off. Visit them online, blackfireordgroup.com. See Ace of Spades. That one I got right. Motorhead. Anyway, this segment brought to you by TopGunSupply.com. TopGunSupply.com is your web source for fine firearms, parts, and accessories. True product specialists committed to delivering the highest level of customer support to you. They carry top name brands including Ed Brown, Wilson Combat, Les Bear, Six Sauer, and many more, as well as premium ARs. Whether you are looking to protect yourself or are a first-time gun buyer or a competitor shooter, TopGunSupply.com can satisfy your firearms needs. TopGunSupply.com, your premier source for SIG parts and accessories. So, we are talking with Steven Fisher right now about tactical training, I guess would be a good way to say that. Something I forgot to mention, I should have made a bigger deal about it, but I did want to welcome AM 1190 News in Orlando to the Ballistic Radio family. We're broadcasting there as we speak. We'll also be adding News Talk 820 WWBA in Tampa at some point, probably next weekend, I think. So very excited to see the show growing and expanding. If you're listening online and would like us in your local market, send me an email and I'll see who I need to talk to make that happen. Anyway, back to Mr. Steven Fisher. Steven, are you still there?
Oh, yeah.
Perfect. You're just like on the edge of your seat waiting to say more, right?
I'm sitting in a recliner right now in a pair of Molly boxer shorts that are multicam and a cigar and bourbon.
Nice. Very nice.
Good.
You're John's hero.
Yes. Well, he's got a beard, too. I mean, I look up to everyone with a beard. I got multicam flip-flops on. That's something, right? Kind of.
Mine are Marvin the Martians.
All right. Anyway, wow, this really went off the rails quick. So getting back to sort of what we were talking about, and we were sort of, before the break, talking about some of the industry partnerships and, in general, I guess people's thoughts on what happens versus what actually happens as far as cool guy stuff, specifically the cool guy stuff I get. And as Andy said during the break, if I didn't have cool guy stuff to play with and talk about, the show wouldn't be very interesting, would it?
Pretty much.
Huh. I'll keep that in mind. That's why it's a tax. Go ahead.
The funny thing is, gear is just gear. It's irrelevant. As long as the sights work and the trigger goes and the thing goes bang, who cares?
Well, you know what's interesting about that? I talk with Claude Werner a lot. And, you know, for those that are not familiar with Claude's work, he is probably the biggest advocate to pocket guns there is.
Mm-hmm.
And when I say that, he's coming from that point of view as far as specific to the situation that people find themselves in. But he's done a lot of really interesting research that fully has me believing that if I pocket carried a junk 22, I'd probably be fine 99% of the time. That's not to say that's the best choice or that's the one that I advocate for people, but sort of like you said, the gear is the least important part. The training, on the other hand, which you could also make the argument doesn't matter, but that's a different show and I don't want to do that right now. the training, on the other hand, I think is somewhere where people should maybe focus a little bit more time. Now, we've been talking about some of the things that people don't do, I guess, that they should think about, or some of the things they do that they shouldn't think about. I don't know. I'm so confused. Fundamentals, though, you said is what people should be working on, right?
Yeah, I mean, realistically, when you look at it, without fundamentals, you get nothing. I mean, if you can't perform on demand on a square range, you just, I won't say completely lost, but what are you really accomplishing? I mean, the goal is to get first-round hits on demand.
Right.
And under any and all conditions, whether it be pocket carry, IWB, appendix, whatever your choice is, whatever flavor of Wonder Blast or 6000 it is you're carrying that week, I really don't care.
Right.
And it's really truthfully up to you to hit on demand these classes. And if you don't have that, you're just wasting time and making brass, to be honest. You really are. And it comes back to what we're doing this week in the house that you're going to be at this class. And I think what people don't really realize is how this plays into their day-to-day lives. A lot of guys will take it for granted that, you know, they're coming to this class, they're going to have fun, they're going to do all kinds of, you know, great ninja-fied tactics and learn how to storm somebody's compound in the middle of something stand, you know. And unfortunately, that's really not the attitude to have when you're coming into this. You need to be looking at it from a perspective of, how does this help me in my residence?
Yeah.
How does this help me in my business? how does this help me at the mall?
Right.
You know, when things go bad, it just boils down to these things. And it's how we move around others. It's how we handle structures, how we handle the geometries and the shapes in the rooms, the intersections. And honestly, a lot of it can be equated to almost driving at times.
Yeah.
But it's hard for people to really understand to get out of a square range mentality and get into a quote-unquote fighting mentality or a life-saving mentality at that point. And you look at today's world, where we live and how we live, and the ever, I guess, hovering threat of that next attack,
yeah.
Be it, you know, the quote-unquote buzzword of the week of active shooter. Well, guess what? If somebody's shooting, it's an active shooter. I've got news for you people. Welcome to the real world.
Right.
Active shooter. Somebody's shooting again. There it is. And versus the, you know, the whole tactical, God, I can't even, that word just bothers me, but the relevance of training and being able to put rounds on demand in a 360-degree environment around others, be it your family, be it strangers, be it moving through an unknown floor plan such as a mall, even your own house at 3 o'clock in the morning when you wake up to whatever is going on in your home, to the hotel that you're staying in when you're traveling, to any of those things.
Right.
And people, I think, realistically should look at their training from the standpoint of fundamentals. Here we are. I'm able to shoot on demand at X distances within X period of times to set standards. Then think of your next, where do we spend the most amount of our time next? Our vehicles.
Right.
And or indoors. You know, however you want to play those, either indoors, vehicles, indoors, it doesn't matter to me. I really don't care. But these places that we spend all of our time in, that creates our environment, that makes that up, is where we need to really start getting into the, I guess, so-called next levels of our training.
Right.
Versus, you know, just being in the square range. And honestly, I'll tell people, look, if you show up to a carbine class and you're wearing more gear than the entire fleet of naval surface warfare teams that are out there, you've probably got an issue. And I'll pull people at class and ask them, hey, what's the role of the carbine for you?
Right.
It's my home gun. I'm like, awesome. Take all that gear off of you right now. Load from your pockets, because at 4 o'clock in the morning when you hear glass breaking, dude, you're probably going to be standing there in your boxers or
your robe.
Even God knows what else worse.
Right.
This is what you're going to have. So take all that garbage off. I don't care where you what you spent, what you got it for. Get it off.
Well, and the funny thing, you mentioned that too, because the shoot house requires plates and ballistic helmet. Mm-hmm. Usually the carbine classes I've gone to in the past, I've gone in flip-flops before and gotten looked at funny.
Yeah.
So this was sort of an interesting decision-making process on my part when I'm like, well, I got a kit up. I decided that I was going to go Tropic Thunder style, you know, and just...
What a reference.
Yeah. Well, I wanted to think of a way to say that without actually saying it
wow.
on air.
I want to see you in a panda skin, John.
Yeah.
Yes. Well, just because, though, I mean, so many people go to these things doing that. I sort of wanted to see what the appeal was.
Sure.
So
see how you feel afterwards, too.
Yeah. And you've got to understand, too, a lot of it is that there's certain safety measures, liabilities, you know, insurance concerns, all those kind of things built into these things. And,
yeah.
and honestly, you know, the helmets and the armor net are obviously the levels and layers of safety.
It wouldn't be good if John caught one in his back, would it?
No, I'd be unhappy.
You know, at that point, it'll probably be me doing it because I'll be behind him, and I really look at that piece of gear that he has with that new FN pistol. I'm like, look what I got.
Yes.
So, yeah. No souvenir rule is in effect, definitely.
Okay.
But, no,
dude, your PIN number?
You only got 15 seconds left.
Yeah, there's a funny story there. We actually got to go to break, and I'll tell you the story when we get back, and then we'll talk about more interesting things. Right now, you're listening to Ballistic Radio. Welcome back to Ballistic Radio, brought to you by Black Fire Ordnance Group, makers of TNT and TNT Black Firearms finishes so tough you'd need dynamite to take them off. Visit them online at blackfireordgroup.com. Anyway, this segment brought to you by the Polypalooza 2 Memorial Training Conference. Join some of the top trainers in the country August 16th and 17th at the Raven Concealment Systems facility in Northern Ohio, where they will be teaching some of the most vital self-defense skills that every armed citizen should know. Lesson blocks will cover a myriad of topics suitable for shooters and students of all skill levels. If you are new to the training world, this is a great place to start. For more information, click the Polypalooza 2 tab on ballisticradio.com. Registration is only $250, and all the money is going to benefit the Paul Gomez Children's Trust. Remember, click the Polypalooza tab on the ballisticradio.com homepage for more information, and save the date, August 16th and 17th. Also, too, wanted to give a quick shout-out to Mike Harrelson, who is listening via iHeartRadio out in Portland, Oregon, watching his kids stipple a Glock. So, hey, hi, guys. Anyway, wow. My minion is laughing at me right now, and Andy is looking sort of amused, too. We're talking with Stephen Fisher. We've got about 9 minutes left. Stephen, are you still there?
Yeah, I'm laughing at you, too. So
well, that's good. Hey, you should get used to that feeling, because for the next 5 days, easy. You just be giggling all the time. I'm like a ray of sunshine that way. So... Yeah. For people that want to get better and want to focus on things that are maybe a little more applicable to their everyday life, outside of learning to move around structures, which I think is really an underlooked skill, and outside of learning to fight from a vehicle, what are some things that people could be working on the square range? I mean, just... And for those that don't know, the square range would be like any standard firing line you go to where you've got a lane that you're in and you can only shoot directly to your 12 o'clock and the target is static, not moving, and blah, 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 square range. What can people do in that sort of environment?
You know, I think some of the more relevant drills to really enhance and improve on their basic capabilities of shooting and their performances, I mean, there's some very simple exercises and drills out there that they should be working on. One of probably the most, well-known drills is really dot torture.
Yes.
Dot torture is a great exercise for people for turret control, sight alignment, all those good foundation things that we need, and 25-yard bullseyes. My classes over at Sentinel Concepts, my standard starts at 25 yards. My first hit of the day with any of the class, any of the students, especially involving handgun shooting, is 25 yards, 10 rounds, right out of the gate, cold. That should be a standard that most people should get at, because everybody's like, well, you know, I'll never be in a engagement or a shooting outside of X distance, so I only need to live in that, like, 0 to 5 yard, 0 to 7 yard realm.
Right.
And then... We'll be sitting at dinner one night at class or something, or afterwards, or in a restaurant or whatever. They'll be like, hey, how far is the door from here? Well, I don't know. What if I told you that was 19 yards, or 21 yards?
Right.
Or the average aisle of a grocery store in America is 25 to 27 yards. Again, it comes back to those environmental conditions and what people need to realize that, these practices that they do on the range can either help them or it can hurt them. If you're the person who sits there at 5 yards, 7 yards, puts up a target, shoots 300 rounds through it, has this big, elongated, drawn-out center hole, and pats themselves on the back to make themselves feel better, you're wrong. And you're really only hurting yourself because you're not doing anything other than just wasting rounds, to be honest.
Right. Well, I guess there's, if that's your thing and that's what you do to blow off steam, that's fine.
That's one thing. That's different. That's,
yeah.
That's the going to the range and I'm just going to go shoot and do something. But again, what are you doing?
Yeah.
Now, what are we reinforcing? What habits?
I think the interesting thing, the realization that I had when I actually began to understand that not everyone even accepted the possibility that the firearm would ever be used for self-defense, it was really an eye-opening moment for me, and it suddenly made a lot of sense, some of the things that I consider to be stupid that people say, when I sort of like step back. Not that I agree with that, but at least I get where they're coming from now. As far as, you mentioned the grocery store being 25 to 27 yards, and you mentioned the restaurant. Do you think that the reason people don't necessarily think about those longer shots is because in their mind they've only got one idea of what a self-defense shooting looks like, and they don't accept any other possibilities into it, or they've just not considered it?
I think they've been fooled over the years, by X number of programs or wherever they've gone to, either maybe because the instructors don't have that ability or they don't have the understanding. I'm not saying that I have all the answers to any one problem or any of the problems. It's just that a lot of programs are built around that, up close and personal. This is where it's going to happen. To get what they need to get close to you and to get what they want, such as your money, your valuables, your wallet, your iPhone, I don't care what it is. Unfortunately, today it's not always about that.
Right.
It's not even about what you have. It's about just taking your life or somebody in your family's life. It doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Certain people, certain organizations, groups, whatever the case may be, it doesn't matter. Take the mall shooting this past year overseas in Mumbai.
Right.
That could happen here tomorrow.
Yeah.
There's absolutely no doubt about it. And if you're walking around with a 5-shot J-frame, you're probably not as prepared for it as you think you are, and that not every situation is going to be strictly based upon somebody wanting your money.
Right.
Period.
And
so,
No, I was going to say, it's funny you mention that. I guess it depends, too, on really the importance people place on being prepared for a wider gamut of situations as far as that goes. Because the 5-shot J-frame is an interesting example. I would never really choose to carry that as a primary handgun, though. If that's all I had, I wouldn't feel too terrible about it. But it really does seem like a, for lack of a better term, a one bad guy gun. And I know Tom Givens down at Rangemaster was a huge 1911 proponent for many, many years. He quit carrying one. And one of his favorite things to say is, well, that was a one bad guy gun. That was a one bad guy gun, and I live in a two bad guy town, which I found interesting. So it's anecdotal, if anything. But so, I mean, do people just need to read the news more and have a wider awareness of some of the bad things that happen, or what would your suggestion be?
My suggestion would be to get out, train with a broader spectrum of people, but also to realize that it's just not one group that is out there. There are multiple offenders. It's like you can't prepare for every worst case scenario, so to speak.
Yeah.
But you have to give yourself the best options available to handle any and all of those problems.
Right.
And, it could be a group of guys coming into a mall armed with long guns and you're down to a Glock 19. Hey, that's great. I would much rather have that than a J-frame.
Yeah.
Sights and triggers are important. And if a gun's got lousy sights and a lousy trigger, it's not the gun that I want.
Right.
But you have to prepare yourself for all options. And that's why I tell people, in training is really that you need to look at it from such a broad perspective. And it's there is that group that kind of lives with their whole life centered around this confrontation is going to occur right here.
Right.
Or it's based off law enforcement statistics, off patrol officers, or it's based off of, X statistic versus Y, when realistically most average citizens do not fall into that statistic category.
Yeah. Well, and I think the famous Colonel Cooper quote is, statistics are a cold comfort when you've found you've been struck by lightning.
Yes.
Something to that effect. I'm paraphrasing really, really poorly. We got about a minute left. Is there any classes that you're teaching in near the Cincinnati area? What's the next thing you've got going on if people wanted to come visit?
After this, we'll be doing myself and Will Petty from Texas. He's a really good buddy of mine who helped pretty much. He actually developed a lot of the vehicle curriculum that he was teaching down in Texas. And then we started adapting it from law enforcement to the, average citizen role.
Yeah.
We'll be teaching that June 20th through 22nd in Alliance, Ohio, at the Alliance Police Department Training Facility, which is absolutely phenomenal. And it's one of the very few police ranges in the country that will actually let you have open enrollment classes at their facility, and they're just some great people there.
Yeah, no, I'm looking forward to it, and I believe I'll be attending that class. I'll post a link up. Steven, I really appreciate you coming on the show this evening.
Hey, it was great being here. You know, we'll do this again sometime. And,
oh, yeah, definitely.
In about 4 hours, I'll be waiting for you.
Yes, that doesn't sound creepy at all. Hey, you have a good night, man. I'll see you later. So, I put him on hold a little sooner than I meant to. Next week, I recorded a show with Ian Wendt of Special Circumstances, Inc. I'm going to talk about knives as a carry option for non-permissive environments. And also, open carry may have come up for just a little bit. Anyway, remember, you can check us out at our website, ballisticradio.com, like our Facebook page at facebook.com/ballisticradio. Thanks for listening, everyone. As always, be safe, and see you next Sunday at 7 p.m.